There's been alarming evidence in recent weeks of a new terror threat taking shape in Indonesia, inspired by the ISIS fundamentalists in Syria and Iraq. In just the past week, Abu Bakar Bashir, the jailed spiritual leader of the network responsible for the Bali bombings, declared support for the self-declared Islamic State. Now the group's released a slick recruitment video tailor-made for an Indonesian audience. Peter Lloyd reports.
In counter-terrorism circles, they speak of a perfect storm. Almost 12 years has passed since the Bali bombings. A large number of Indonesians jailed for their involvement with the terror network responsible, Jamaah Islamiyah, are now due for release. And they have a new inspiration. ISIS, a militant movement that's just as bloodthirsty, but arguably succeeding in a way the JI never did.
Dengan mengharap rahmat dan pertolongan dari Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala.
Now ISIS has produced a recruitment video. It's in the Indonesian language.
Di Daulah Islamiyah.
The messengers on the tape say they are from Indonesia. It's a cause for alarm, says Professor Greg Barton from Monash University, an authority on Indonesia and the terrorist outfits that still thrive in our near neighbourhood.
People are responding in large numbers, and I think they recognise they need to pay more attention to what's probably a very valuable source of support.
You say they're responding in large numbers. What is the best estimate of how many Indonesians are fighting in Iraq or Syria?
The best estimate right at the moment, July 2014, is there's probably at least 150 in Iraq and Syria, and that may well be severely underestimating it.
Is it a serious concern? Does momentum get given to this movement in Indonesia when people like Abu Bakar Bashir, the spiritual leader of the Southeast Asian terror network Jamaah Islamiyah, responsible for the Bali bombings, when he from behind bars in the Indonesian version of Alcatraz gives his support to ISIS?
It's extremely concerning, Peter, not least because one thing we were slow to realise was that most of the so-called Mujahideen who returned from Afghanistan in the early 90s were loyal to Bashir's colleague Sunkar. When he died in 99, many of them were reluctant to back Bashir. They didn't like the idea of jihad in Indonesia. They thought it wasn't the place or the time for a violent struggle. Those same non-violent extremists are likely to be won over and merge with the violent extremists on the cause of Syria, Iraq, and the ISIS caliphate. So we're likely to see a much broader coalition emerging beyond the people that previously Bashir could influence.
How many people would you say would swear allegiance to Abu Bakar Bashir and therefore in turn al-Baghdadi, the leader of ISIS?
Bashir's influence at the moment, we don't know definitive numbers, but there's probably a community of several thousand that are directly affiliated and loyal to him, and many thousands of sort of fellow travellers who feel duty-bound to at least offer hospitality and support.
So you could say, at the worst case on the spectrum, that several thousand people in the last week have just hit the switch to terror on his word.
Yeah, the insidious thing here is that what ISIS offers with its caliphate is not an invitation to join necessarily simply a jihad or a terrorist operation, but to join what many people see as a very legitimate aspiration of Muslims been waiting for decades and perhaps centuries. So even if we are fortunate to avoid attacks in Australia on Australian soil, we are likely to see more attacks in Southeast Asia, including Indonesia.
In the past few years, a lot of strategic thinkers have remarked on the idea of a strategic defence treaty between Australia and Indonesia. Is there some argument for that with a counter-terrorism focus, given the environment you're talking about?
Yeah, I think that would be very wise. We need to move beyond just an ad hoc response to problems to a more systematic way of collaborating strategically.
Professor Greg Barton from Monash University with Peter Lloyd.